passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Shall we just call the Crimson Tide as they get ready to head back west, where they've been for a while, and the Final Four. Let's check in with Felix up next. Hey, Felix.
Hey, Paul, how are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you very much.
Hey, I was calling about the Bird and Magic and Caitlin and Angela thing, but real quick, right before that, good show today and everything, and then the collar bracket deal is a lot of fun, and it just kind of goes from there. But the whole thing on it, and I watched Bird and Magic back in the day and whatnot, and they really saved the NBA with how they did and everything. And then Bird was the biggest trash talker in the world, if you go back and look at some of the YouTube stuff and all that. And then you look at the two women today, Caitlin and Angela and stuff, and Angela's kind of a trash talker and whatnot. I don't think they're saving the women's basketball. I think they're kind of making it in a way.
Well, the whole ascent of women's basketball has been going on for some time, and I think it reached a critical mass level last year with the championship game. And it's just been like that all year. I mean, Caitlin, there have been a lot of great players in women's basketball, but I think more and more people are just starting to notice, as we found out earlier in our conversation with Holly Rowe, who's covering the game tonight. Brad is up next in Georgia. Hey, Brad, thank you for the call. Good afternoon.
Hey, Mr. Paul, how are you doing this, brother?
We are doing really well. Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Paul, can I go ahead and give Larry from Shelby congratulations for really spanking me on the caller bracket. So, Larry, you're an iconic caller, and you know something? My pride's not hurt losing for somebody like that.
Well, Bragg, in an era where we have so few concession speeches, that was simply magnanimous. Bill Conley joining us now to talk about the NFL draft. It's just around the corner at the end of the month. He's done a deep dive into some of the top quarterbacks in this year's draft, including Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, the former Auburn quarterback, as well as how they would compare with some of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Bill, good to see you. Thank you very much. So take it from the top. you've dug deep. We eagerly await the results.
Yeah, so basically this is like a little attempt at humility here, where we accept that we're going to be wrong about like half of these guys at the top of the quarterbacks list, because half of them fail every single time. I wanted to take a look, not at necessarily who projects the best, but just stylistic or statistical tendencies. Who are these guys similar to that we've seen either as draft prospects or in the pros? So that was the general premise there. Came up with some, you know, a guy like Caleb Williams sure matches up really well with Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes, but then a guy like Jaden Daniels is a unicorn that we haven't really seen before. So it produced kind of interesting results overall.
So on Jaden, because we certainly have talked to him and have kept up with him so closely here. Unicorn speaks for itself, but if you had to find someone, yeah, who would it be?
So basically, the closest I was able to come, because he scrambles so much, even last year when he kind of dialed it down a little bit, kept his eyes downfield better, he still almost scrambled more than anybody else in college football. Best comps there were Justin Fields, number one, although he did take, I think, fewer sacks than Justin Fields did on a per pressure basis. The other's Hendon Hooker, which I found really interesting. If you give Hendon Hooker, you know, healthy knees, he doesn't, you know, tear his ACL at the end of the year, and he enters the pros as a much more mobile prospect overall, he produced pretty similar stats as well. I kind of liked that. At the pro level, you get Justin Fields again, because he really does scramble a ton. There's really nobody else that came anywhere close. Tommy DeVito was the closest I was able to come in terms of scramble rates and general efficiency levels. So I don't think he's gonna compare to Tommy DeVito all that much.
Bo Nix has been enigmatic since we got to know him in high school and college. And obviously it seems like we've been talking about this guy for a very long time. He's really gotten better throughout his 15 years in college football. So who would you compare Bo Nix too.
Yeah, this one, I mean, he had two separate careers, right? I mean, at Auburn, he was kind of the risk taker, the YOLO ball kind of guy, that famous touchdown against LSU. Then he goes out to Oregon, and he's the most in control, safe passing, just take the yards you're given kind of quarterback in college football. So really, if that's what the guy we're going to see, just who takes what he's given, the floor is kind of a Bailey Zappe type, but the ceiling's Trevor Lawrence. His stats really matched up well with Trevor Lawrence's in college, and not just because he had so many just, you know, yards because he played so long. At the pro level, you don't really find any good comps because at some point you have to make plays. We're going to have to see that Auburn side of Bo Nix a little bit more if we want him to succeed at the pro level. He's going to have to take some risks, otherwise it doesn't really match up. So that's going to be really interesting. It's like the new Bo Nix fighting the old Bo Nix, and we'll see which one wins.
Yeah, you compare Drake May to a number of really good quarterbacks, but the one that really got my attention, including Jalen Hurts, but was J.J. McCarthy, because I don't think you could have come up with a more eclectic group of people. Tua Tagovailoa, whose record speaks for itself, and Stetson Bennett, who sadly has already been forgotten.
Yeah, well, we haven't forgotten Stetson Bennett, but no, that's that was the biggest thing about J.J. McCarthy is on a per pass basis, per drop back basis, his stats were great. He had some hits and misses, especially in those playoff games, but his stats were great. He was among the top in total QBR. He also dropped back to pass less than almost anybody in college football, and that's where the comparisons to kind of a junior year Stetson Bennett come into play. Tua Tagovailoa, obviously, he was out of the game most of the time by the fourth quarter, so he didn't have a ton of dropbacks. And so those were the guys that ended up, you know, just high efficiency, low volume guys. We've seen Tagovailoa develop. It took him a few years because he just hadn't had as many reps in college as a lot of guys. But I do think that was kind of an encouraging step, is that just because he didn't throw a lot doesn't mean he's absolutely guaranteed to fail at the next level. It just might take him a little bit to get his legs.
Just curiously, because you deal so much with stats, but all the talking heads as we get closer to the draft debating on Caleb Williams and Drake May and obviously Jaden Daniels. I realize it matters who the team is, but just your assessment of those three without leaning into mountains of data.
Yeah, I think from the eyeballs, I did get, especially in 2022, the amount of Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson vibes you get from Caleb Williams when he's buying time out of the pocket, when he's always finding an open receiver when he does so. It did feel like I thought he had the most consistent overall sample, top to bottom. Jaden Daniels really did. My joke for years was that whatever offense he goes into becomes the Jaden Daniels offense, because he's going to scramble. He's going to do Jaden Daniels things. I don't know if that's going to work in the pros. I hope it does. And Drake May, he had a couple of years here, and he took a lot of sacks. He took a lot of hits. We don't know if that's because of his line or because he wasn't throwing on time. I think overall, I trust Caleb Williams the most. And as you said, it depends on what team they land on, because wrong offense, and it doesn't matter who you are.
We always trust Bill Conley the most when we talk to him. Bill, thank you for the time. As always, Bill Conley from ESPN. As we head to the break, we'll talk to Mark Sears in a little while, the star of the Alabama Crimson Tide, heading, yes, to the Final Four. We'll be right back.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. Great to have all of you with us. Still one more guest. It's been a busy day of guesting. Let's check in with Willis in Los Angeles. Hello, Willis.
Hi, Paul. Always great program on your end.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, well, Oates and Kevin Keats are, I think, the finalists for Coach of the Year, and the one that does the better will probably get it. But SEC basketball is an upswing. What I really want to talk about is SEC baseball, which really strikes close to home. You look at the top 25 teams, and most of them are from the SEC. And national recruiting, good coaching, and analytics, I mean, they've got it all. And look at the last three national champions, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. And it's excellent. But there's a saying among baseball coaches in California, it applies to basketball, too, and it's very crude. It's just there's more rats than there is cheese. There are more good players around than there are places for them to play. And when you get a school like North Carolina State in basketball or Arkansas in baseball, there's so many good players around, you're gonna get them. And it's not like football where you need 85 guys because it's, you know, you have so much playing time, and you get a team like Florida Gulf Coast breaks loose. I think this year, I really feel that that's what's going to happen. I think Oates or Keats is going to bring home a big winner.
Willis, thank you very much. I know nobody will predict either one, but nobody's predicted either one this far either. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. JD is up next. Hello, JD. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. So currently I'm in high school, and I really want to get into your field of work, like the broadcasting journalism kind of thing. So I was wondering, like, what steps would I need to take to get to where you're at? Because you are one of the best.
Thank you, JD. I think it sounds very simple to say what I'm about to say, but it's also important. I think you need to get experience at many different things, and by doing so, you'll be able to isolate and maybe later winnow down what you're most interested in. I didn't have a much of a background in anything I later did. It did not help me at the beginning, but ultimately you have to overcome it. But I would strongly recommend trying to get a little bit of experience. Have you made any thoughts on where in high school are you?
So right now I'm a junior, and I don't really have a bunch of colleges I'm interested in quite yet. I'm trying to see if I can go anywhere for track first, but
okay.
I mean, yeah.
Well, I don't, by the way, I am, I worked around a lot of people in my profession who had flashy degrees from famous journalism and broadcasting schools, and ultimately it may help you get into the field, but it will not help you once you get beyond the entry level. You have to have talent, and you have to have a work ethic. So I wouldn't get hung up on anything right now. I would just keep doing what you're doing. And at some point, where in Alabama are you?
So I live in this town called Arab. It's about 25 minutes south of Huntsville.
Yeah, sure. I would just keep this. Let's keep this dialogue up. I think as you get a little closer, once you identify where you want to go to school, why don't you let me know, and I would be more than happy to try to connect you with some people wherever you go. I think at some point you need to meet some people where you're going. Right now, I realize you got a lot going on, but I would try to get some experience if you could. It's hard to cover your own events, but I would think about what you're most interested in doing, and maybe find yourself in those particular areas, and at least. I think what you want to try to do is to discover what you want most. It's a big field, and you want to make sure you're doing what you're good at and what you're interested in doing.
All right. Thank you so much for taking my call, Paul.
JD, stay in touch with me, and I'll try to guide you as you work your way through it. But thanks so much for checking in. You be well. Let's check in with Levi in Missouri. Hello, Levi.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a question and a couple comments about one. The question is about the Mizzou AD search. What have you heard anything or any update?
I mean, I've heard some names. I've heard some names mentioned, including a former Missouri basketball star, but I haven't heard much of anything, and I think
John Paul.
Yeah, exactly. From what I know about him, I've met him a few. I think he would be fantastic. I just don't know what his interest level is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I read that as well. But my comment is: do you foresee AJ's voice sticking to John from Missouri voice and him being stuck like that forever?
Levi, I don't know. number one, I think it's a really good job, but it's been a bit of a turnstile lately.
And I have one more question about one of the sponsors of your show. Sure. I listen to the podcast because I work away from home, you know, so I can't watch it on television or don't get it on the radio. But so I listen to your podcast normally at the end of the day, and I'll catch it. But I was listening to the Friday show, and one of the sponsors was Tinder.
Really?
Were you aware of that?
No, and I am always amazed when I hear stuff like that, because there are many layers to what we do here, starting with the most obvious, the television part, and I can see what's going on there. I mean, I can see Joe Namath every 5 minutes pitching Social Security. But I really don't know what happens on the audio side, because you have many different tributaries. But did you realize Tinder was one of the sponsors on... Randy said he might start paying more. Randy said he might start listening more to the podcast.
I wasn't for sure if there was just that many users that they thought it would be a good sponsorship.
I don't, Levi, I don't think there's any rhyme or reason to what happens nowadays in social media and in terms of that. But hey, thank you very, very much for the call. Wow. That is,
can I get a free account?
Now, I referenced this a couple of months ago one time, when I was talking to my friend, the Archbishop, and he was listening, on a feed once from the Vatican. It was a local radio feed, and he was getting advertisements for some adult nightclub with strippers. And he said he went from a stripper ad to a male enhancement ad back-to-back, which, again, we're happy for anyone to spend money with any one of our entities.
We don't care what you do.
But feel free to turn them down if you're offended. Elliot, including this phone call. Elliot is up next from Ohio.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I called about 3 weeks ago and talked to Roman Harper about the possibility of Alabama being in the final against Purdue. If that happens, you're totally honest with you got to be totally honest. Who do you think would win that game, Paul?
I'd like to see the game Saturday first. But yeah, I mean, if Alabama got past UConn, I would be all in on Alabama.
I got Purdue every day of the week. They're killing it. But you're right, Alabama's going to make it.
Again, the problem for Alabama though against Purdue would be this. I don't know if Alabama will be able to bring the officials like Purdue brought yesterday.
true that. True. Hey, I'll take officials every day of the week, Paul.
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
By the way, it wasn't even Purdue. Zach Edey brought his own officials. I mean, I think he's a great player, best player in the country, but he's a lot better when he has the three zebras calling everything for him. I know that sounds like a disgruntled, angry fan, and you're exactly right. I can afford to be. David is up next in South Carolina. Hey, David.
Hey, Paul. How do you feel about Alabama and UConn? Like, how do you feel about Alabama's chances stopping Newton and Donovan Klingon?
Yeah, one thing I try to do, David, is live in the real world, not in a fantasy land. I'm not overly optimistic. What about you?
If I had to guess, I think UConn will probably win by at least 20.
Well, I'm hoping for a much closer game than that.
Me too, but the way UConn's been playing, they could probably beat the Pistons.
Yeah, I mean, they are literally at a level we haven't seen in a long time. I don't really care at this point. I think it's all gravy for Alabama. Thank you for the call. We are going to take a short break. Much more to come, including one of the top players in the country joining us shortly.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Quite a baseball game on Thursday night. How about Ole Miss? Won the national championship a couple of years ago. Traveling a team that's trying to win it this year. The number one team in the country, the Arkansas Razorbacks. Speaking of the number one team in the country, the number one basketball team is UConn. And Jim joins us now from Connecticut.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for showing up.
I loved your producer's comments. He was all about the wings at J. Timothy's in Connecticut. So I guess you guys like to enjoy that kind of food when you get up here.
Many a Saturday night in Connecticut.
I'm sure you have. I'm sure you have. And I'm sure there's many of them that you like to forget because you have much better weather.
I would say, Jim, most of them, yes.
I would say that. So, honestly, I am not a contentious kind of guy. I'm always gracious. I'm a football fan, and I bow to the SEC. I am a big fan of Auburn. But my allegiance is to UConn. I'm a season ticket holder for all their sports in men's football and basketball and have been for a long, long time. I just wanted to throw some shade to Alabama fans. I think they're going to absolutely regret getting to the Final Four because I think they're going to get crushed. I think it's going to be an embarrassing loss for them, and I feel bad for them, actually. But on the other hand, that's what you get for playing a team that's much superior, better coached, better athletes. Although the funny thing is, you know, Nate Oates used to be an assistant for Bobby Hurley up at Buffalo, so he knows the Hurley family real well, and I guess they're really tight.
He does indeed. Well, Jim, thanks for checking in, and I want you to do one thing. I want you to make sure you listen to the next caller, who I have a feeling has a response to your trash talking. Legend is up next.
Woo! Listen here, dude. We could care less. We made the promised land. Paul, I've seen the promised land, brother. I've seen it. It's real. It's real. The promised land is real.
Legend, not to go Jim from Tuscaloosa, being a religious scholar here, but Alabama wins the game, and here comes Easter Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, man. It's just like the Lord just smiled on us. You know, Friday night before the game, I tweeted out Moses splitting the Red Sea and said that was Nate Oates on Saturday. Saturday, whatever the game was. But Saturday afternoon, I turned on ABC and the Ten Commandments was on. I said, man, that's a good sign right there. That's confirmation.
The
we're about to win this thing, brother. We're about to win this thing. Man, I'm so proud of the Alabama Crimson Tide, man. Who would have thought? Who would have thought this team would have been the team to make history, man? But it ain't March Madness. It's Mark Madness, baby. Mark Sears, come alive, baby. You come alive. And let me tell UConn something. You might have that chin poked out there, but so did Houston when North Carolina State upset them. So did Georgetown. I remember Georgetown. Favorite by 15 over Villanova. It can happen, baby. It can happen. That's why they call it March Madness. Hey, Paul, wouldn't you agree if I'm Alabama, I'm shooting 63s in this game?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you agree?
I'll spare you the cliches we all learned in sixth grade, but the pressure's on the other guys, not Alabama.
Yeah, if I'm Alabama, Paul, the moment I walk through the tunnel, I'm putting it up, man.
If I could offer this, and I'm proud for Alabama and happy, but you know what I was most happy about Saturday night? The idea of Dabo Swinney having to suffer through that game. Alabama
that
graduate.
That was for you, Dabo. That was for you, Dabo. I thought about just slapping Dabo. I wanted to get a picture of Dabo and just slap it after that game right there. But that's for you, Dabo. That's for you. But, man, just amazing. Nate Goats. Oh, did I say Goats?
I think
bigger
did.
Than Wimp. Did I say that? Nate Goats. So proud of him. What an amazing story, Paul, just to come from the high school ranks to ascend to where he's at now. And I don't think UConn's going to run Alabama. Here's the thing about Alabama. 89 points is the magic number for Alabama. They've scored 89 points 19 times, 89 or more, 19 times this year. They're 18-1 when they score 89 points. And like I said, man, if I'm Nate Goats, I'm throwing up the moment I walk in the gym, man. I'm shooting 60 trays in that game. If you hit 20 of them, hell, that's 60 points right there. I mean, I'm putting it up. I'm letting it fly. Let it fly. Man, I've seen the promised land. I'm like Moses. I'm looking at the promised land. Never thought I'd see it. Never thought I'd see it. Oh, there is a giant in there. But, Paul, look at this game like David and Goliath. You know, UConn's Goliath, Alabama's David. But here's the thing. We got some rocks to throw. We got some rocks to throw, baby. You can say all you want, but if Alabama gets hot from that three-point line and hits about 15 or 20 threes, anything can happen, baby. That's why they call it March Madness, baby. Let me say this, Paul. I was pulling for you yesterday. I know you're a big Tennessee fan. Let me say this to Tennessee people. You got ripped off yesterday. You got mugged. Let's just go back to what we was talking about last week about changing these officiating crews up, putting different people with different people. I mean, Zach Edey, 7'2", 280, banged the whole game and got his first foul with 4 minutes to go in the game.
Hey, Legend, I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to offer something, and I've resisted saying this all day because it sounds like poor sportsmanship, but you may remember about two or three years ago, Tennessee played Purdue in, I think it was the Music City Bowl, and they literally ripped Tennessee off at the end of the game. And after the next morning, we were out in Dallas for Alabama's playoff game out there, and they came to me on camera, and I've never done this before, but I said, I want to say this on camera, on national television. I refuse to recognize the result of the game. Yeah. Tennessee won this football game. You may not remember that, Legend. You know what? I'm going to do it again. I refuse to recognize the result of that game yesterday. Tennessee won that basketball game. That game was taken away from Tennessee by the officials.
I agree.
And Legend and I collectively are pointing our fingers at the Zebras. In my mind, Tennessee is in the Final Four this weekend.
Amen. Amen. I've seen it all throughout this tournament. Them officials has butchered many games. Samford should have won.
Oh, you're right. That was the worst call of the tournament.
They got ripped off. What it is, you got mixed officiating crews. You got one guy on one end calling it soft, and you got the other guy on the other end calling everything in the book. And it seemed like the SEC, be Alabama or Tennessee, they always get the guy calling everything in the book. I mean, hell, Alabama's been in the penalty at the 13-minute mark in every game this
And Legend, can you tell me why it takes 10 minutes every time those guys run over to the scores table for a review? What are they looking at? What are they watching? They watching Oppenheimer on Netflix?
Well, this just goes to prove what I've been saying all along. There's too many millions and billions of dollars in this stuff not to have these guys in school year-round. And there's too many millions and billions of dollars not to have an official in New York or in the booth that can look at something for 15 seconds, make a decision, and get on with the game. It kills the momentum. It kills it just kills everything about the game. I mean, come on, man. We're better than this. We're better than this. You deserve to get it, Tennessee. I hate it for you, man. But I say this to the Purdue fan, or whatever his name was. We had Purdue down by 9 points in the second half before Zach Edey quit committing fouls in that game. So that was early in the year. But I'm coming for you, UConn. I'm coming for you. And, hey, Paul, got money on LSU tonight. I'm betting women basketball. I'm addicted to gambling. I'm addicted. I'm betting LSU tonight, baby. I don't know, Caitlin Clark's a bad girl, but, man, I bet SEC tonight. Get it done, LSU. Get it done. Love you, Paul. I've seen the promised land, baby. I know that I do it in this lifetime. God is good. Roll Tide. Mark Sears, we love you. You come through, dude. This ain't March Madness. This is March Madness. Go off, Saturday. Go out. Shoot a three when you come through the building. Go out. We can do this. We're David. They're Goliath. But we got some damn rocks. Legend has left the building.
There is an unconfirmed report that a burning bush was talking to Legend just yesterday. We'll take a break. We have more to come. And we're expecting a conversation with Mark Sears in just a few minutes.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
St. Louis. Hello, John.
Hello, Paul.
Oh, hey, John. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. A couple of comments about the Bama performance is A+, and I don't like to agree with Legend on anything, but I have to say that I don't think you can underestimate a team that can shoot the three. And I believe that I think Bama's going to give UConn all they want. And, you know, I think Bama, you know, they're deep. They have a deep bench. They're hungry. And the one good thing they have going for them, too, Paul, is UConn really hasn't played a bad game in such a long time. You know, they could go flat.
Well, they could. And I think the one thing they have going against them, John, is just the expectation. And these are young people. And sometimes you just listen too often. It doesn't happen very often, but it has happened.
Well, all you need to do is go back.
Duke and UNLV about 34 years ago?
Yeah, there you go. And also, I'm going to go back to when Texas Western, you remember Texas Western with my man, what was his name out there? The Bear, they called him the Bear.
Don Haskins.
Don Haskins beat Coach Rupp.
Right.
And who would have thought, you know? So anyway.
No, that's the most famous upset of all time, but I'm pretty sure that game in maybe 90, 91, whatever it was, UConn was a...
that was a huge upset.
Was a prohibitive upset. I mean, we're talking probably more than what we have here Saturday night.
And it is, Paul, and I'm just going to lay this out on the line here to UConn. And you're going to have to remember, I'm not going to tell you where this phrase came from, but you're going to have to think about it. We'll talk about it next time I talk, but it's going to be time to sock it to me, UConn.
Rowan and Martin's laughing. Man, every time I talk to him, I feel like I'm watching that 70s show. Other than he's in the 60s. We will continue on. And Jeff is in Indiana. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Yeah, it's Nate Love Hour.
It is.
So I wanted to kind of go in a different direction, but I'm not sure how much play this is getting down there. But here in basketball country, the Alabama sign stealing issue is definitely a topic. I mean, I realize there's allegedly no rule against it, but it does kind of look like amateur hour at best. I mean, you got a bunch of grad assistants yelling out UNC's plays, and the question is, does Alabama win that one without that tactic? And further, does, you know, you got a second season where you here you got sign stealing, and last year you had Brandon Miller, and it seems like Nate Oates can't get out of his own way.
I'm just a poor dumb Southerner down here, Jeff. I'm not, you know, as well versed in basketball as you people up in Indiana. Hoosiers country, but I really don't quite follow you. Nate Oates has been one of the best coaches in the country. He's got a team to the Final Four that really had no business getting to the Final Four. I know what you're referring to. There's an article out there, and there's some conversation about it, but I hardly think it's penetrating the consciousness of very many people other than apparently you.
Yeah, it could be. Or at least a couple, but... I mean, I realize it's probably not getting any play there.
And listen, anybody's willing to come at Nate Oates with anything that they've got. I think pretty much the whole world came at him last year about the Brandon Miller situation, and you know, it may very well have affected them. I mean, they played a terrible, terrible game in the Sweet 16 round. Well, you take care of yourself, Jeff, and by the way, Oliver Stone and his movie collection is alive and well on your favorite streaming service. Augie is up next in New Orleans. So hello, Augie.
Paul, that's a new one on me. I never heard about a sign stealing with Nate Oates. Where did that come from?
It came from Indiana.
Hey, man, there's fake news everywhere. But Paul, you know, I am so glad that happiness has come back to Tuscaloosa, because, you know, they've been pretty down in the dumps lately, haven't they? I mean, they're so happy and exuberant. But what did Alan Greenspan say? Unbridled enthusiasm? Wasn't that his words?
Yeah.
I mean, they are celebrating in the streets. They are popping the corks. They are running around with their tops off down Main Street. I mean, it's just so good to have the Alabama faithful seeming positive and upbeat, because they've been downtrodden for so long, those poor people. Aren't you happy for them, Paul?
I feel great, and especially Legend, because he's had a rough, you know, listen, ever since his his guy, almost used a more biblical phrase, but I decided not to.
I mean, is he going to have to replace his fat head? with Caleb DeBoer. I mean, I'm worried about the guy. But, Paul, Tennessee, I don't know about you, and I know everybody's complaining about the officiating, but as I watched that game, even when they were behind, I knew they were going to lose. Even when it was close, it just appeared to me that they were not the best team. Likewise, with Alabama, even during the North Carolina game, I thought no matter how bad it at any time might have looked for Alabama, I thought they were going to win the game. I just do not see that the referees are the ones who cost Tennessee the game.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.